Reading today is taken from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through to chapter 3, verse 6, and can be found on page 1004. Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
Thank you, Hannah, very much indeed. Thank you to our musicians as well today. We know that Tim and Tash are flying south next weekend for a lovely Australian winter, which is summer. Thanks for all that you guys have done for our church and for the Thrive Youth work over this term as well. Let's pray as we study God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would show us where we make the same mistakes as the Pharisees. But above all, we pray that you would show us Christ as we've been singing. Please may we see him as he really is in your word. Please may what we read and see change our lives and help us to live lives that glorify him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Well, do keep that passage open, Mark chapter 2. And let me read to you verse 28. Verse 28. "So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Jesus speaking about himself, "The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Now, here's a question for you. Why is it that we like rules so much? Recently, I was given a Fitbit. I'm not wearing it today because it's run out of batteries, but you probably know what these things are. It tracks how many steps you've taken during the day, how much exercise you've done, and you can kind of set targets. And mine is currently set for 6,000 steps, which is not a huge amount, sort of 3.5 miles, but because I spend a lot of my day sitting at a desk, it's quite a good little measure. And I guess we love rules because we can set the details of them, 6,000 steps, or no more than 3 cigarettes a day, or read a chapter of the Bible every day, so that we can tick them off and we can feel good about reaching our target. But I'm sure you know that also rules can make us a bit ugly as well. Because if anyone dares get in the way of that rule, we get a bit tetchy. I've heard of people that kind of get to 5,000 steps or however many they've set for a bit fewer of their target, and they get to the end of the day and they're running up and down the stairs to reach their target, and you dare not get in the way because they're trying to get there. We have a no singing at the table rule in our house. Now, we love singing, and we often sing, and sometimes I find myself singing at the table or humming, but when the volume levels get too high, Martha, the policewoman, says, "No singing at the table," and you dare not get in the way of that rule. Well, today, for our last study in Mark's Gospel, we're looking at these two stories of conflict with the religious leaders. And in fact, this is two of five stories that have been building. And this is our last study and these last two stories which focus on the Sabbath. Let me point out to you a few verses. Verse 24. Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Verse 26. Which is lawful only for the priests to eat. 3 verse 4. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? So you get the theme that's running through. It's about rules. It's about what's lawful. It's about what's permitted. It's about what's the right way of living. And we're going to see from this passage something that takes us to the heart of Christianity. We're going to see that the way in which we're to live is not by constructing a whole lot of rules, what we might call legislation. I put lordship, not legislation. Not a whole load of rules. Legislation, think of the 535 pages of Brexit legislation, is it? But lordship, under Jesus's lordship. As we go through, we're going to see how under Jesus's lordship, having Jesus as our king, which has been the theme of this term, we're going to find that he leads us in good ways. He leads us in great ways. So let's look at this. Let Jesus lead you in his good ways. And we're going to see three ways in which they're so good. And we're going to start building up a picture on the screen, which I'll give you on the way out, or you can download it from our website after today. So let's see how Jesus' good ways that he wants to lead us in, first of all, are biblical. So let's look at story one, verse 23. And I find that when I listen to the Bible just for the first time, I don't always get all the details. So let's look at it again. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. Now remember, this is the Sabbath, this is the Jewish day of rest, Saturday for us. And these disciples, these followers of Jesus, are kind of, according to the Pharisees, they're putting their feet in the wrong place. They're stepping out of line. And it could be for a number of reasons. It could be that they were walking too far on the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath was the day of rest, and God himself had commanded his people to take the day of rest. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, let me just say straight away that Jesus is not doing away with the Ten Commandments. Don't hear me say that we're sort of moving away from the Bible in some way, as you'll see from this first point. It's not that murder or adultery or swearing is now all okay. Read the Sermon on the Mount and you'll see that. But what Jesus is doing is helping us to understand what obeying the Sabbath actually means and what, in his eyes, obeying the Sabbath looks like. And it's quite different from how the Pharisees see it. You see, over the years, they had developed a whole load of rules about how to keep the Sabbath. In fact, 39 different activities were prohibited, so you couldn't walk too far on the Sabbath. And maybe they were worried that Jesus and his disciples they'd kind of gone over the Sabbath day walk, which was a distance of several thousand cubits, just a kind of a mile or so. 200 cubits, which is 938 meters. So you couldn't walk further than about a kilometer on the Sabbath day. That was one thing you couldn't do, walking too far. Another thing you couldn't do was working on the Sabbath. That was clear, and that was right. But they'd interpreted that to include even picking corn. There was a kind of a goat-sized mouthful was about how much you could handle on a normal day. You could get a goat-sized handful of grain to snack on in someone else's field. That was kind of understood to be okay. But on a Sabbath, well, these guys were reaping. These guys were picking the corn. They were breaking the rules. And so, verse 24, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? What's not permitted? Why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, the way that Jesus responds is fascinating, because he doesn't go into the whole rule thing and say, "Look, you've added a whole lot of rules to what the Bible actually said." He doesn't even say, "Look, they're not reaping, they're just snacking." He turns to a very significant and specific event in the Bible, and he said, "Have you never read what David did?" Verse 25, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. So Jesus, very cleverly, he really knows his Bible. He turns to a specific episode where David is in view. And he shows that David wasn't condemned by the scripture for eating some special bread that was set aside for the priests to eat. And the priest at the time allowed him to, David to eat. So this is really clever because Jesus is showing that the Bible wasn't condemning this kind of being blessed by eating in this way. Secondly, Jesus was paralleling himself with David, the great king, and showing how important he was. But the point I want to draw out so far is that Jesus' ways are completely consistent with the Bible. He doesn't ignore the Bible. He doesn't disobey the Bible. He doesn't supersede the Bible. He interprets the Bible. So let Jesus lead you in his biblical ways. Jesus is a Bible expert. And never is he going to lead us to do something that goes against the Bible. In fact, as we get to know the Bible, we get to know what Jesus wants for us. Not because it's a kind of exam to pass or a rule book, but because as we read our Bibles, we get to know God and we get to know what he wants for us. And as we do that, we'll constantly find ourselves to live a positive, wholesome, and holy life. I don't know if you read the Bible every day. At one level, I don't want to encourage you to read the Bible every day because I don't want to create another rule for you. And it doesn't say in the Bible you have to read the Bible every day. But it's a great thing to read the Bible regularly, not to tick the boxes, but to get to know God and see what he wants for us to live, how he wants us to live. Let Jesus lead you in his good biblical ways. But let's look now at restorative ways. Let's look a bit more at what he's calling us to do as we understand a bit more what he does say about the Sabbath, the day of rest. So verse 27 and 28. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now this is really interesting. What the Pharisees had done with the Sabbath was that they turned it into a whole load of tick boxes. You can do this, you can't do this. Some of you might have grown up with a kind of list of do's and don'ts that you should or shouldn't do on a Sunday. Going for a walk, tick. Shopping, definitely not. Watching telly, Now, I actually think that society would be a better place if we didn't have Sunday trading. Everyone would get a proper rest, and there'd probably be more time for the family. But I wouldn't go to the stake for it, because it's possible to miss the point. By the way, I do shop on Sundays as well. But the point here is that right from the start, God, who made the world, created the world in 6 days, and then he rested. He didn't need to rest, and there's a sense in which if God rests completely, then the whole universe is going to fall apart, because he sustains everything. He's the one that keeps it going. But he set up this wonderful rest day for him and for humanity to be in relationship, a day of recreation, a day of rest. It was a day to enjoy relationship with him. The Sabbath was to be a blessing and not a burden. But what these guys had done was they turned it into a whole load of rules. Jesus is showing us here that we're not machines just to keep going chunk, 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 chunk every day. In fact, when societies have done away with a day of rest in the 7 day week, actually they found themselves being less productive. I think there's a clue there about how God's written his good ways into our society and the way in which we work. But nor does life consist in rule keeping. Anyway, look closely at verse 27. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." God is a good God who wants to bless us and give us the wonderful gift of rest. And that's ultimately found in relationship with him. But they turned a gift into graft, hard work, a delight into drudgery, a happy thing into a heavy thing. Imagine if, as Christmas approaches, you put on your list a new pillow. In fact, we're hoping that Tim and Tash might bring an Australian pillow back for us because they're very good over there. And imagine if Tash presents me with my new pillow in the new year, and here it is, your new pillow. And I say, okay, which way round? Do I put it this way on? Do I turn it that way? Do I turn it around that way? Do I put my pyjamas under it, over it, or do I want to keep them to one side? Which pillowcase do I put? She might say, Charlie, chill out. This is for you to enjoy. This is a pillow. This is to give you lovely rest at the end of the day where you can just lie back and enjoy. And what they've done is they turn this thing of rest into a whole load of rules. And Jesus says, look, the Sabbath was made for man. It's to be a blessing. It's for you. It's not to incarcerate you with a whole load of rules. Not man for the Sabbath. Man isn't here as a machine to try and tick all these boxes. And he says even more in verse 28. He doesn't just tell us about the Sabbath. He tells us about himself. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is calling himself the King. He's saying that he's the one who has the right to decide how we live, including with our time off. I'd be happy to talk with you afterwards about how we as a family do time off and how we have a Sabbath, which for us is normally on a Saturday, and how we do other times in the week where we rest, and all the favourite telly programmes that I like to watch. But do you see how Jesus' ways are so good? They're restorative. He doesn't want us to be frazzled. He doesn't want to burden us with rules. He wants us to enjoy the good gifts that God gives us. Let Jesus be your Lord. Let him be your King. And he will lead you in biblical ways. He'll show you from the Bible what's the right way to live. And secondly, you'll find that those are restorative ways. He wants to bless us with good things, like a stroll in the fields with friends, not a list of do's and don'ts. But as we move on to the final story in the beginning of chapter 3, Jesus takes it even further. Let him lead you in his life-giving ways. Biblical, he's always true to the Bible. Restorative, they'll be good for our souls because he ultimately is the source of rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But they're life-giving as well. Let's look at this final story as our last episode together in Mark's Gospel for a little while, and discover more about how Jesus' ways are so good. So 3 verse 1, we're in the synagogue, we're in the Jewish religious meeting place, and there's a man with some kind of shriveled hand. Poor guy, maybe he was born with a disability, maybe his muscles had wasted away, or maybe he had some kind of accident at work. But everyone is watching, because they want to see what Jesus is going to do. Remember these Pharisees? I don't want to speak ill of traffic wardens, because I think they do an important job. But imagine if you park on the double yellow lines outside of the traffic office in town, and all the traffic wardens are sort of there ready to see if you're going to park on the yellow line. They're ready to pounce. Well, it's a little bit like that with the Pharisees. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They were already poised, ready to try and slap a ticket on him. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal, if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Again, one of their rules. They're thinking that surely you can't do some sort of work on the Sabbath, this day of rest. Surely Jesus can't heal this man. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Imagine if I called one of you up to the front here this morning, and like in front of everyone, the atmosphere must have been absolutely electric. Jesus doesn't dispel the tension and say, come on, let's just talk quietly afterwards. He raises the stakes. He brings the man right into the middle, and all eyes are on Jesus. And there's this man with his shriveled hand. What's Jesus going to do? And then Jesus, verse 4, it's genius Jesus. Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath. What is actually the right, the permissible thing to, what's the whole point of the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? As Tim Keller in his excellent book on Mark's Gospel. Now, if you want a book to read about Mark's Gospel over Christmas, put this on your stocking list. King's Cross. Jesus is the King who goes to the cross. Great book by Tim Keller. And Tim Keller says that the Pharisees, their hearts were as shriveled as that man's hand because they were so focused on their rules that they didn't even want Jesus to heal him on the Sabbath. And which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent, I bet they did. Because if they said to do evil, well, they've kind of already admitted their own cruelty. And if they say to do good, well, they're admitting that Jesus is in the right. And so what does Jesus do? First, he looks around. He looks around a couple of times in Mark's Gospel, always at very poignant moments. I wonder what that look would have been like. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, like he must be distressed at our hearts when we're stubborn like this. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man brought out his hand that had been withered over the years and began to stretch it out, and it worked perfectly. It was completely restored. And then look at what happens in verse 6. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. If you're a rule book person, you're not going to enjoy it when someone just offers a free gift and when he puts a red line through all your rules. Imagine if you're someone who you're standing in a queue and you're number 6 in the queue, and there's number 7 and number 8, and then someone else comes right to the front and says, "By the way, guys, there's a door on the other side. You don't need to queue." That's going to be slightly frustrating if you spent all your life in queue mode. But Jesus cuts through all those rules, and he offers complete healing to this man's hand. In his words, he brings life. He does good rather than evil or killing. And ironically, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who were two unnatural enemies, because the Pharisees were the kind of conservatives and the Herodians were the kind of liberals who were siding with the Romans, these two unnatural enemies come together, and only in chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel are they deciding to kill Jesus. The Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And that happened immediately. So this is still on the Sabbath. So while Jesus is using his Sabbath to do good and to save life, the Pharisees and the Herodians are going out and doing evil and killing. And they're deciding literally how to destroy Jesus. Well, let's bring this all together. Do you see the contrast between Jesus, the Lord, and the way of the Pharisees, the Pharisee project, which is legislation or relationship versus religion? Religion says, I'm going to live a good life so that I can be accepted. And relationship says, I'm already accepted, so I'm going to live a good life. And guess which life looks better? The life of religion or the life of relationship? We've seen this term that Jesus is the radical king, the doctor king, the powerful king, all these other kings that John was reminding us of. But I've entitled this sermon, The King of Love, because Jesus hasn't come to burden us. He's come to bless us. Following him and walking in his ways are always going to be for our good. They're going to be biblical, restorative, life-giving. A few months ago, when some of us were still living in Cambridge, I helped with a course at our church called Life Explored. It's run by the Christianity Explored team, and it's beautifully presented 7 films with 7 teaching videos. We might well do it here in Huntingdon. It's a great course, and what is so wonderful about it is that it takes us to how good God is. And around our table, there were people from all over the world. The Netherlands, China, Zambia, Brazil, and even good old Great Britain. And there's a photo of some of them. And as we looked at the Bible's teaching through this course, many of the people on that course, some of whom had actually come from very churchy backgrounds, both Protestant and Catholic, one by one they began to discover the relationship that Jesus Christ is offering. They began to discover that Christianity is not about rules. It's about a relationship. It's about putting your trust in a Lord who is going to lead you. And he is so good. And he is so life-giving. And he is so kind. And I'll never forget some of their comments. Several of them around the table said, "Why wasn't I taught this at my home church? Why had Christianity been reduced to rules?" So as we finish this series, as we think about the King of Love, it might be a good question to ask, have I submitted to King Jesus? Have I asked him to be my Lord? Will I trust him? Will I let him rule me? For some of us, we might still be thinking that through, and I'd love to talk with anyone who'd like to maybe to borrow my DVD from Life Explored and think through for yourself who Jesus is. But for many of us, we can recommit ourselves to following this King, the Bible's King, Mark's Gospel's King. We've only looked at two and a bit chapters of the book, but we've seen Jesus in glorious technicolor, haven't we? We've seen how powerful he is, his authority, his ability to speak and to change lives. And we've seen the way in which he blesses, the way in which he brings good, the way in which he saves life. What a king he is. Will you trust him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to begin by admitting the hardness of our own hearts. The ways in which we'd much rather settle for rules rather than relationship because we can feel good about how we're doing. And yet, Lord, we know that those rules so often turn us ugly and turn us into more of a machine and less of a human being. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord even of the Sabbath. May we submit to him in every area. May he guide us and lead us in all the issues that we're thinking through in our lives at the moment, all the difficulties that we face, all the problems that we have, may we submit to King Jesus. Just take a moment of silence now to invite King Jesus to be Lord of whatever area of your life you're struggling with at the moment, or whatever good area you want to give to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Lord. Please be Lord of our lives, of our church, of our Sabbath rest, of our Christmas outreach, of our friendships, of our outreach, of our working lives, and all the different areas that we've been thinking through. Please rule us and rescue us. Please, above all, may we enjoy our relationship with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.